Time to look at the biggest things happening this week in the world of tech. And my guest this week is Peter Marks, who is software developer from Access Informatics. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Patricia. Good to see you.
Cars that drive themselves have always seemed to be a part of the science fiction future. But in fact, they were about to become real and may start replacing drivers. What do we know about the first rollout?
Waymo is an Alphabet subsidiary that's been quietly building self-driving vehicle technology for a decade. Now, of course, Alphabet is the parent company of Google. And Bloomberg reports today that early next month, a business will launch under a different name, we don't know what that name is, which will compete directly with Uber and Lyft, but without the human driver. Now, at first, it will only be available to a small group of authorized riders in the suburbs around Phoenix, Arizona, and they have already been quietly offering rides to a test group of 400 volunteer families for more than a year. But Patricia, until now, these riders have been under non-disclosure agreements, and when that ends, we're going to start to see selfies and videos from people riding around in cars without drivers.
Is it legal?
Look, it is legal to test self-driving cars in many places, including Australia, with a standby driver. But the big step of allowing cars without a standby driver was first taken in California when the Department of Motor Vehicles allowed driverless cars on their roads from April this year. They do require that the car is monitored remotely, but one remote operator can keep an eye on up to five self-driving vehicles. As the technology gets better and proves itself, this restriction will be removed. Now, in Australia, state governments, including New South Wales, Victoria, and South Australia, have passed laws regulating autonomous vehicles. For one thing, you have to have a public liability insurance policy of $20 million. And Patricia, by 2020, a national law will be in place covering all of Australia. It's being developed by the National Transport Commission. Of course, many current road laws have a built-in assumption about there being a human driver, and they will need modification.
Yeah, a lot of legal modification, you would have thought. And of course, some ethical issues around all of this too. There have been accidents involving self-driving cars. In terms of those ethical decisions, you know, an accident, for instance, what decision does the car make? Who does it injure? How do we deal with all those issues?
Oh, it's a big topic, and it's a big topic in ethics. In March this year, Uber suspended its driverless vehicle trials in Arizona after a pedestrian was killed. And other testers have reported incidents where the standby driver has had to take control of the car. But speaking at the launch of a driverless car trial in Perth earlier this year, RAC Group Chief Executive Terry Agnew said that, quote, human error is the cause of the vast majority of road deaths. And he projected that we'll have a 90% reduction in crashes when we get this technology. So one day, PK, we'll look back on this era of human road carnage as it being like the Dark Ages.
I look forward to it. All right. Last month, an update to Microsoft Windows 10 was released and then pulled after users reported that some of their files went missing. Today, that update is back. Let's refresh everyone's memory. What actually happened to people who updated on October the 10th?
Yeah, look, Microsoft started rolling out a feature update during an event launching their latest Surface hardware. Unfortunately, some users immediately reported that things were disappearing from their computers. Documents, photos, and even entire user profiles were gone. Other users reported that after the update, they couldn't use the internet. Who would want to use the internet anymore? And PK, it led to the impression, really, that Microsoft's testing process was not thorough enough for these large-scale rollouts.
Should people update or wait then?
Well, today they released the update a bit over a month late. They say they've done extensive internal validation and taken the time to closely monitor feedback. They say there's no more evidence of data loss. Having said that, they are rolling this one out slowly, and you likely won't get it unless you do the manual check for updates. I've updated here and it seems okay. It's got some new features which are good, including better integration with Android or iOS phones, clipboard syncing and a new screenshot tool. But Patricia, one change they took out after early complaints was an escalation of their warning against installing the Chrome or Firefox browsers. What they do is if you try to install Chrome, say, they'd put up a big message saying, oh, you really shouldn't do that. You should use Microsoft Edge. Anyway, early testers complained about that and they have backed it off. They still do try to warn you not to use other browsers, though.
Windows 10 has been around for some years. 2015, I think, is when we got it. When will we get Windows 11?
It seems like Windows 10 is just going to go forever. They're basically doing updates without renaming it each time. And, of course, they've stopped charging for the updates, which is what they used to do with major updates. I guess they're basically competing with everyone using their phones or tablets for most of their computing. So as great as it would be, Patricia, to turn Windows up to 11, I doubt we'll see that anytime soon.
All right, finally, the world's largest drone manufacturers had to patch a security vulnerability that left users' photos and videos and data wide open to hackers. How concerning is this?
Well, it wasn't quite as bad as it was originally reported as. They weren't directly spying on us. Many drones, such as these DJI ones, have cameras that have a Wi-Fi link back to an app on your phone, and that syncs up to the cloud. And the largest drone maker, DJI, as you said, has had to patch a vulnerability that allowed one user to log in and then jump across to the account of another user. And then what they showed in their proof of concept is that you could then see everything about that user, their profile, the tracks of where they'd flown, the photos and the video. So it was a pretty concerning bug, if you want to look at it that way. And of course, because these things, like many appliances, electronic appliances coming out of China, do tend to send things back to servers in China, there is that risk that maybe it might be being used for evil.
What should people do if they have one of these devices from the Chinese drone innovators?
Well, the good news is that this was reported by the security team at Checkpoint, and they used DJI's bug bounty program. That's where companies have a bounty. They'll actually pay you if you report certain bugs to them, and I think they're a great idea.
What kind of bounty are we talking here?
I don't know what this one was, but they can be quite big. I mean, Google, for example, has them, and people actually make a living by finding bugs and reporting them. They can be many tens of thousands of dollars if it's a serious bug. So it actually creates another market for people who find an exploit. Rather than using that exploit to make money in some way evilly, they can actually get paid directly by the company to not use it for evil. So it's a good thing, and in this case, it's all worked as it should. DJI have patched the bug, so you can take your drone out again, Patricia, and fly again safely.
Oh, good. I look forward to it. Peter, thanks for coming on.
A pleasure, Patricia.
Peter Marks is a software developer from Access Informatics and is also often heard on RN's Download This Show. This is RN Drive. I'm Patricia Karvelis. It's coming up to news time. It's 7.